This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Okay.
Bismillah. So we normally go live a few seconds before it tells me. So I'm going to say Bismillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Welcome everyone to day two of the Secrets of Successful Marriage Conference. With no more ado, we're going to get started with Sister Khadija Al-Kadour, who is going to be presenting a talk on how to develop secure adult attachments. Jazakallah khairan, sis. The floor is all yours.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Khadija Akhdo. I am a motherhood expert. I've been a parenting mentor for many years now, and I've worked exclusively with Muslim mothers and Muslim women, especially the last 5 years, in coaching, mentoring, and teaching programs. And one of the biggest areas I'm very passionate about, and I've been teaching and learning about for over 20 years, is secure attachment. So this is the area that I'm passionate about, because your attachment style, the way that you interact, your interpersonal skills, the way that you interact with the people around you, especially the close relationships that you have, are largely affected by your childhood upbringing. So basically, we're just going to look at what secure attachment is, and how it affects your attachment style. So how does it affect your marriage? How it affects your relationship with your child? In particular, we'll be looking at the dynamic between husband and wife, and how that impacts, and how your impact of your childhood wounds impact your attachment style. One thing that's really, really important that when I teach programs around attachment, and that one of the biggest things that mothers will always say to me afterwards, and Muslim women will say to me afterwards, is like, wow, I didn't realize how much my childhood impacts my adult relationships. And this is so important, because sometimes we can get very stuck in blaming and criticism and feeling like the other person is responsible for my happiness, or they're responsible for the way that I feel triggered around things. And in actual fact, a lot of this is actually to do with your childhood conditioning, with the way that you were brought up. So our childhood conditioning impacts our interpersonal relationship, it impacts our adult relationships, it impacts the way that we get, we have reactions around things, the choices that we make. And one big area is like building the trust that we have within ourselves. And when you have a better understanding around your attachment, one of the beautiful things is that it can actually change over time. You can build that secure attachment, a secure, safe attachment. I'll explain what that is in a second. But it really helps you to understand that when you understand your attachment style, you understand that you can operate in a different way and build a more safer, loving, thriving relationship with the people around you. So our attachment styles are basically established in our childhood, very much so in the first 2 years of life, and most influenced in that first 7 years of life, you know, that first 7 years where, you know, I think it was Omar Redanho or Arlene Redanho said, you know, let your children play in that first 7 years of life, because that first 7 years is very, very crucial to children's development. It's crucial to how the long-term impacts of how they operate as an adult. So attachment affects your learnt behavior. There's certain behaviors that you've actually inherited, you've taken on because of the dynamic that you experienced in your family structure growing up. Sometimes you build identity around it, and it does definitely primarily affect your emotional response, how you regulate or co-regulate, meaning how you show up emotionally in your adult relationship. So it's a very, very important part of understanding interpersonal skills. Because at the end of the day, our early childhood, you know, and this is why in our deen, you know, think about ummah as a thriving ummah. To have a thriving ummah, an ummah that is able to be healthy and thriving, we're all made up of micro families, right? We're made up of all these houses and all these places, whether you're in Canada right now, or whether you're in Australia, or whether you're in Zambia or South Africa, or wherever you are in the world right now, every family is impacted by their cultural conditioning, the way that they were brought up as a child, whether they were brought up as healthy, functioning adults. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us that when we were born, we have this our fitra state, you know, the fitra state is in this natural form. And then we pick up conditioning, we pick up certain things we unconsciously are conditioned to believe certain things. That's how racism starts, for example. A child doesn't have any, they're not born with any belief of disgust or dislike for another person's skin colour. That's cultural conditioning that's taught them consciously or unconsciously. So all these things impact us, and they impact us much more than we think. But as we become an adult, it affects us, because some of us will have childhood wounds. We will have things where the attachment wasn't as strong as we was meant to be, wasn't as secure as meant to be. And so it's really important to understand your attachment style, because then you then can take responsibility for your life and say, okay, I'm showing up like this in a relationship, and I need to work on that. And why do I not feel worthy or feel loved enough or not feel heard enough? Or I'm not feel seen enough. I'm not listened to. He doesn't listen to me. You know, all these things that we sometimes say, a lot of it can do with your back childhood, your past experiences that kind of play up and show up in the now. So what is attachment? Why do we talk about attachment? And just before we go into what is attachment, the basic, most basic fundamental need of every child is to have a sense of belonging, a sense of being, some sense of security and being seen, so that they're safe, their emotional needs are met. The beautiful thing about attachment is that we want young children to be attached or dependent on their primary caregiver, in majority of the cases, the mother, and they need to have that closeness and that connection. And there's no too much attachment or too much hugs or too much affection. If anything, the paradox is, when the child has that, they have their emotional needs met and their physical needs met as a young baby, then when they're older, they become more independent. It's almost like a kite, you know. You meet the needs of that child when they're quite young. It's almost like a kite that goes out, and they actually become more independent. They come in, they check in with you, they go out. If you ever watch a young child play, you'll see that when they have good, secure attachment with their parent, they go off. They play a bit, they come back, they get that reassurance, they check in, they might cry, something's happened, they come back, they get the reassurance, and off they go. And if you haven't been brought up with secure attachment, and I'll go into some of what that looks like, the long-term impacts is it can really impact your adult relationship, which impacts the way that you show up emotionally or not emotionally in your relationship. It shows up in how you're triggered by other people's things that they do. So it's a really, really important thing. If you grew up in a home where that safety and security wasn't there, if there wasn't like a sense of belonging and a sense of a lot of love and freedom to move about, if you grew up with childhood trauma, if you grew up in a dysfunctional home, if you grew up where there was a lot of tension and fighting and like there was divorce or separation from a parent, you know, all those things that kind of cause rupture or cause a break, then that's going to impact your ability to kind of bounce back. It's going to impact your ability as an adult to feel you have like a secure base. So basically the parent is like the secure base for the child is supposed to be. But we live in the world. We live in a world where people go through wars, and they go through divorces, and they go through so many different things. And a lot of people are not brought up in a home where they get the feeling that they were heard and the attention that they needed. And for many, many reasons, many caregivers tried to do the best that they could with what they had or what they only knew until they knew better. So a lot of the time when you've grown up in a dysfunctional home, you've grown up where you may not have received the basic emotional needs that you needed, or there was some neglect, or there was some trauma that you went through, or some abuse that you went through, or you witnessed family violence in any way, or you lived in a place that felt unsafe, your brain is wired in a way to kind of be a little bit more hypervigilant, a little bit more like look for threats, a little bit more almost like you grew up in a bit more of a survival mode. And so the thing about attachment is that it's so important, because when you grow up in a setting where you felt a sense of belonging, you felt safe, your nervous system is more in a grounded state. You're more in a more relaxed, grounded state. But when you grew up where there was turmoil around you, a bit of chaos, or things were up and down, or routine, but maybe your parents experienced some illness or mental illness or addiction, or, you know, it wasn't the most ideal, or you grew up in where, you know, unsafe place, it gets harder to regulate yourself because you're in an environment that felt unsafe. And a lot of the time this has a long-term impact on adults. In a secure home, the child will have aspects where the parent can leave, and the child can be visibly upset when a child parent leaves. And that is actually a good sign, because that means the child feels a sense of separation from that parent. That child wants that parent to come back. One thing to worry about is when the child comes, if you come back to that child and then there is no reaction from that child. So these are little things that we want to look at that build children's attachment. Why do we talk about building children's attachment? Is that if you didn't have these certain things in your life, then you have to, as an adult, kind of work to build that trust within yourself, to build that safety within yourself, to learn to regulate, to be able to handle your anger, your rage, your upset. When you get triggered a lot, or you get really reactional a lot, or get upset a lot of that is to do with that you haven't been taught self-regulation. And self-regulation comes after co-regulation. Co-regulation is that a parent in a normal, healthy relationship came in, and if you cried, if you were upset, they securely supported you, they held you. They didn't dismiss how you felt. They didn't have a reaction to your emotional state. They were able to hold that base for you. And most people haven't had that experience anyway in my work that I've realized. So creating a home where you feel a sense of belonging and significance, this is, makes up the umma. If each of us work on our home, that's going to have a positive effect. People always talk about, what can I change? Where's my circle of influence? The most incredible and most important circle of influence is in our homes. If we get our homes thriving, if we get our homes where our children feel a sense of belonging and security, if we are able to communicate in a way that we don't feel threatened by each other, this is going to be the important blueprint that our children grow up with. You know, I was listening to a brother last night, a sheikh, and he was talking about that he grew up in a foster home. And, you know, but one of the things that, even though it was hard for him because he grew up in a foster home, he said one of the best things that he was given was he was given a stepfather whose blueprint was very honourable. He'd go, he was responsible, get up every morning, he'd go to work, he'd come back, he listened to him, he felt heard. That wasn't his biological father, but he had that connection to him, and he had grew up with this blueprint, even though he grew up in a foster home. So basically the first 7 years of his life, he felt some safety and security. And he said because he saw a healthy father, because he witnessed being raised by a healthy man, he finds with his own sons now, he's got a bit of a blueprint. He kind of knows how do I show up, how do I interact with them. And so it's really important that if you were not given an emotional bond that really sent the message to you that you were loved and a sense of belonging and security, or because your parents were dealing with other things, that you have to take responsibility now as an adult, as not as a powerless little child, and say, what can I do now in my relationships? How do I want to show up in my relationships now? And how do I make them secure and thriving and healthy when maybe I've learned things that may not be that healthy? So some of the signs of a secure child, and remember, this is very much the first 7 years. Whenever I have a mother that comes to me when their children are quite young, I get so happy. So I'm just like, they're going to learn the tools to be that intergenerational changer, to take what they have taken from their culture and their upbringing and bring the healthy things forward, inshallah, moving forward. So one big aspect as a child is being able to seek comfort from an adult. The adult is not so, is able to hold that base, be that secure base, and support that child. Able to prefer the parent over strangers, you know. When they have a problem, they're able to come to the parent, they're able to communicate that and come to the parent. They're able to explore their environment, they feel comfortable to explore their environment. They're brought up in such a way that they don't have to stress that my parents are going to lose it at them every time I have an opinion or want to do something. They're allowed to have some autonomy. They have that, that while they respect their parent, but they're allowed to have an opinion, allowed to be seen and heard. And the caregivers are able to self-regulate. They're able to really build that relationship with them. Children that have secure attachment, they grow up to be less anxious. They grow up to have less, in general, they have more secure base. They trust in themselves. They have less self-doubt. They're less critical. They're, and these are studies that have been done over and over again. These studies have been done over and over again about children that are brought up in secure homes or in, with a secure attachment and how it impacts them. And the beautiful thing is that your attachment style can change. So if you're someone that has looked at attachment and you thought, oh, no, I don't have a very secure attachment, one of the beautiful things is that you can actually build. You can then build a secure attachment by first building yourself, building your worthiness up, working through your co-regulation or your self-regulation. There are certain things you can do so that you can show up differently in your relationships. It has a very mirroring effect on Alhamdulillah. One of the big aspects of secure attachment is a lot of children will grow up into adults that have more higher self-esteem, have more self-worthiness. They usually have an ability to be more confident and higher interpersonal trust. Interpersonal trust is a really important skill because a lot of our children aren't learning the proper interpersonal skills because they're stuck on screen times. They're not, you know, this is not really connection. To a point, this is, but the real connection is the face-to-face interaction. We communicate 80% through body language. And so we send messages to others. So one of the important aspects of secure attachment is what is the emotional message I'm sending over to other people, to the people around me. And, you know, that could be so simple as how do you look at your spouse when they walk through the door? What's the emotional message that you're sending to them? You know, what's the tension? I can remember as a child, I knew my father was angry because I knew just from the footsteps when walking down the hallway. It's like I knew because I was had to be hypervigilant around him. That's like, yeah, Baba's angry. Because I knew I didn't have to see him. I could sense it through his walk. So certain things we pick up. And this is really important because emotional safety precedes connection. If you don't have emotional safety, you don't want to connect. Your brain is wired to protect yourself. If you don't have emotional safety, you're going to take a step back and say, you know what, I'm not sure if I'm going to be safe and vulnerable with this person. I'm not sure if I'm going to trust this person. I'm not sure if I feel comfortable enough to open up the parts of me that other people don't see. And so, and remembering that secure adult relationships are built on trust and built on understanding each other and appreciation. So much aspects. I'm going to go into what are the key aspects of building a secure adult relationship. Please remember, if you don't feel that you have certain, when I go into them and you feel like, Khadija, I don't have some of these, I don't have these aspects of my relationship, know that you have the ability now to take responsibility for your life and to choose your own happiness because your partner's not there to give you happiness. Your happiness comes from your own thoughts and feelings and how you perceive things. Remember, one of the biggest aspects of healing and growth and building a secure attachment is your own self-perception, because you project through your own self-perception of all this stuff behind you, your own emotional baggage, your own beliefs that you grew up, the things that you were taught about other people, other cultures, the assumptions that you make up, you know, all these things impact your perception. So a lot of the time you could be perceiving something and it's based on, it's not actually based on the truth. So example, you might get upset when your husband doesn't wash the dishes, or anyone whose husband washes the dishes, mashallah, or your wife doesn't wash the dishes. Say you've asked them to wash the dishes, or your oldest son, you've asked them to wash the dishes and they didn't do it, right? If you get, you may be triggered, not by the dishes not being washed, but you're maybe triggered by the feeling or the perception that you created about the dishes not being washed. Where it could be your backstory is, oh, see, this is another example when I'm not heard or not appreciated. So we create stories back on our childhood wounds because it may remind you when you were a child and you experienced a core emotional wound such as abandonment, or pain or betrayal or rejection. And then that comes up and shows up in your adult relationships. I had one sister I was working with, and she'd always say, but my husband doesn't listen to me. My husband doesn't listen to me. And it was really interesting when we unpacked her story about her husband listening to her. It was actually when we unpacked it, and I said, explain to me how your husband listens, how he is, you know, what he does. And she goes, he puts his face straight and he looks at me and he really listens to me and he even paraphrases back what I'm trying to say, but I still don't feel hurt. And I said, you're projecting your wound onto him because he's showing up and he's saying, I'm listening to you. And he's even paraphrasing back to the point he started saying, I don't feel safe when I start to listen to you because I know you're going to attack me and say that I'm not listening to you, but I am listening to you. But it was coming from her childhood trauma of her belief as a child that she was not heard, that she didn't have that sense of belonging and feeling. And we worked on that. We worked on that so that she could understand to stop projecting that onto her husband, projecting that belief that he wasn't listening to her when in actual fact he was. It was just her emotional baggage from her childhood that was coming into play. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that I have to take responsibility of how I show up in the dynamic of the adult relationship. But guess what? It takes two to tango. And so even in situations where there is abuse, where there's manipulation, where there is lying, you are taking a role to teach that person how they treat you. And this is coming from a person that was in a toxic relationship. This is coming from a person that was in childhood trauma. Because we send messages to people about our worthiness, about our boundary setting. We sit in victim place at times. And when you're able to set and learn better, healthy boundaries for how to deal with some things, and of course, some situations are, you are no one's emotional punching bag. You are no one's emotional punching bag. Let me remind you that. When you learn the value and the worthiness of who you are, you can build better, secure relationships because you first and foremost build a secure relationship better with yourself. And second, and this is the most important, you build your relationship and attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. Because Allah will never, ever leave you. Allah will never abandon you. Allah will never forsake you. These relationships are also tests. They are part of this dunya. They are part of the scheme that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us to get to the ultimate goal. And we live in a very individualistic society. We live in a society that deems our my nafs and my desires come first. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the Quran and Sunnah is that our homes are a place to raise up our children in a healthy way. Yet, unfortunately, many of our homes are not healthy. And so part of this is going through, how do I create better communication with the people around me, particularly husband and wife? And for those of you who are single mothers, for those of you who are divorcees, this is great because you can build up what you need to go into a better situation. And those of you who are in the situation, if you're already in a family and there are things not going right, this is important for you to address every avenue that you can to build that relationship, to build that muhabbat, that muraqabah, build back that muraqabah for yourself, but build back that balance of intimacy and forgiveness and love, and take responsibility for how you impact that relationship. Because the number one aspect that destroys or really threatens a relationship, and this is one that is particularly those who have a insecure attachment. A lot of those who have like an anxious, insecure attachment, they're almost like always looking for reassurance. They always want that validation from their partner. They always want their partner to make them feel happy. And it doesn't work. That formula doesn't work. You have to build your own security and happiness within you. So for those that are experiencing this happens a lot with anxious attachment, is one way that you can destroy the security of the relationship is criticizing. And that's very common. That's very common with someone who has anxious attachment. They'll kind of be critical because they become critical because they can't clearly ask for their needs. It's hard for them to ask for their needs. So sometimes they resort to criticism in a negative way of trying to receive back the attention or the need that they want. And so criticism, it comes with a defense ego. the ego wants to protect itself. It withdraws. It doesn't want to be connected, right? It doesn't want to feel connection. So a lot of the time it's knowing, being able, when you build a secure relationship or security within yourself, you are being able to articulate, this is my need. Be clear. Clear is kind. Clear is kind. Instead of criticism, silent treatment, stonewalling, oh, she or he should think my mind. Or he or she, I'm making bad assumptions about them. So it's really important. And the other thing that threatens a relationship, a secure a relationship, and can really destroy, talking about security here. You don't have emotional security in your relationship. This is a really big red flag. If your wife does not want to sleep with you, if you are in a situation where you are both having silent treatment to each other, one's doing to the other, or you're destroying the actual emotional vulnerability and security that you have in that relationship. And the biggest one, a way to do it is straight away going to catastrophic thinking. Catastrophic thinking is divorce thinking, sitting in divorce thinking over and over every time you have, because even secure attached couples have arguments. We're human beings. There's no perfect couple out there. Believe me, I've coached 800 women in the last 5 years, and a majority are going through something. They're going through some struggle. When women come to me, 90% of the time, when they come to me with a problem with their child has anxiety, their child has off-track behavior, their child is playing up, the child is doing this, the child is disrespectful. When they come to me to work through that, as a parenting coach, 90% of the time when we unearth and we go deeper, it's the relationship between husband and wife that's impacting that child the most. Because the child is a barometer of the home. The child is a thermometer of what the home environment, the tension of the home, the experience of the home. And the biggest way that you can break the emotional security is by using threats of divorce. You know, oh, that's it. Or maybe we'll call it. Or, you know, I just can't stay like this anymore. Just constantly going straight to that instead of having the conflict resolution skills and the communication skills to work through. I truly believe this is something that has not been taught at school, yet it's so crucial. It's so crucial that we have a healthy way of learning how to express my needs and to express myself without attack, without criticism, without putting down. This is one of the signs, you know, of a hypocrite, is the person who puts the other person down when he's trying to tell them how they feel or think. That's not part of our deen. Our deen can have very separate opinions about each other, but we still maintain some level of respect, because this is another Muslim. This soul of us is another Muslim. This is another human being. And this is so important. This is the most important framework for our children, and that's why so many of our children are growing up into adults. And you hear this from the kids. I work with children a lot, and many don't want to get married because they've witnessed what they've experienced in their home. And this sad reality has to change, because then we have girls that will get married later and later and avoid it, and then we have boys that don't have the skills, they haven't been brought up as men to understand their position and who they are in that family. And also many of them grow up not having that respect towards women because they've seen their mother disrespect. So with connection, safety, without safety, there's no connection. You have to feel emotionally safe with someone to connect to them. And without connection, that's going to cause a lack of hope. It's going to create a home where there's lack of hope. So what's the signs of secure attachment? What are the things that you want to build in you and your relationships to have a more secure relationship? Number one is having trusting relationships. You have to trust yourself and trust the other person. If you can't trust the other person, then how are you supposed to love them? But also you have to trust yourself. So many people, women I meet, are stuck in self-doubt. They've lost the ability to trust in their intuition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you a fitra, an intuitive state, an intuition, your GPS, to guide you in situations. To tell you, wait a minute, I'm being an emotional punching bag right here. That's not really acceptable for me. to really check in with that. This is the intuition, it's your guidance. Allah gives you to that. He gives you that to guide you. The person with secure attachment is they're honest to each other. They're honest and straightforward and good. There's no deception. There's no lying. And there's definitely no manipulation. This is so important. Honest with myself and honest with those around me. And this is huge, because what happens is, and especially those of you who grew up with childhood trauma or childhood wounds or childhood not the most ideal upbringing, right? And those of you who've gone into maybe a marriage where it hasn't been, it's been toxic elements or not healthy ways of communicating and being with each other, then you create like an emotional baggage, and it has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with, because if not, you're going to be holding on to all the pitter-patter of the mean talk of other people's opinions and beliefs, and you're living for other people's validation, and you're not building your worthiness of yourself. Building a secure, worthy self is the number one key, and building your worthiness and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your first attachment, these two together are your number one keys. That's going to transform a relationship. If the other person doesn't change over time, then alhamdulillah, you've done what you have done in your capacity to show up with ihsan, to show up with taqwa, to show up in a more healthy way. You've taken responsibility for your reactions. You've taken responsibility in how you show up in that relationship. So when you don't do that internal work, then say you're in an abusive relationship or you're in a relationship which is not ideal, you're going to be sitting in a place as a victim, and you're going to be blaming and staying in shame and just staying in a place that I'm not good enough, and starting to default. The number one thing that children default to when they're in a home where they grew up, where there is dysfunctional elements around them, when things are not healthy for them, as an undeveloped brain, what do they do? Does anyone know what they do? What is the one thing the child does when they're in a home where they're growing up and they're seeing that chaos around them or seeing the parents fight? What should they do? Can anyone say to me? I can't see the Q&A area. Disappear in their mind. Try to bring peace. Sometimes they go into people pleasing. There's one thing that a child would do. This is shown over and over and over again. When they see that their parents are fighting or their parents are upset with them, they do act out. That's a behavior. There's one particular thing that's shown over and over that children will do to themselves that comes into adults. It comes into their interactions and their dynamics as an adult. Exactly. They blame themselves. Yep. They self-blame. This is the number one thing that a child will do when they see. So, example, their father, the baba, comes home and he's just been told off by his boss. And he comes back into the house and he shouts at his son, his four-year-old son, who wants to go up to him and give him a hug. And he shouts at him. That the brain of the four-year-old doesn't understand the dynamic of the father is angry because the boss told him off and he's come back into the house, and now he's let his displaced anger in the wrong place on his subordinates, his family members. That displaced anger, which happens a lot, onto the people that love and care for him. The child only thinks, there's something bad. I did something bad. There's something wrong with me. The child defaults back. There was one research done here in Australia, I think about 5 years ago, with kindergarten children. That's about like four or five. And they asked the children, a study by Andrew, I can't remember his last name, Dr. Andrew, but he basically did a study with 1,200 kindergarten students. And he asked them, are they good or are they bad? And the 4 and 5 year olds, 75% of them said, I'm bad. They had already created a belief from their home environment. Remember, these are the first children coming out into the kindy, into the school environment. So you can't blame school. They're a product of the home. And they basically already had established this belief very young that I was bad. And yet, subhanAllah, our deen teaches us, let them play. Do not reprimand them. Be loving and merciful to our young. That first 7 years, because if you're not merciful to your young, they grow up into adults that are emotionally unavailable. They grow up into adults that are not very nice. they grow up to adults that don't have the interpersonal skills to handle other people's emotional states. They grow up into adults that push away and create distance and disconnection when the other person really wants connection, two backs to each other, when actually it wants to be like this. Because isn't that what it is, a garment? Isn't that what it's meant to be? A connection of love? And the thing is, you can sit here and you can say, this is not working in my marriage. But what about if I said to you, have you exhausted every avenue? Have you really looked at what can I do to change with the, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to change the dynamic in this relationship? And believe me, you may do everything possible for Allah's pleasure. And you may have to decide that's it and walk away. But I'm saying to you, what can you do still if you're in that marriage and you have children, you're raising those children? And I won't even go about the long-term repercussions of the divorce thing, because that's for tomorrow, that's another talk. But really looking at how can I look for win-win solutions in here? One of the number of things that destroys secure attachment, secure relationships, is the labels we assign and put onto others. It's the labels that we go and we put onto other people. My husband's this, my wife's this, my ex-husband's this, my son is this. These labels will create a self-perception where you will only see the negative label that you have put onto that child, that person, and you won't see who they are, all the goodness in them. It's almost like a narrow view where you'll just look at the things that you're unhappy about them or you're ungrateful about them or things that you see that they're doing wrong, but you're not also seeing. And I'm not condoning you to accept abuse. Abuse is abuse. It's not part of our thing. You are no one's emotional punching bag. Love is not meant to be harmful. But, you know, subhanAllah, Omar Radhanhu said, going back to that criticism, Omar Radhanhu said, I think he was giving advice to a person about who wanted to divorce. And he asked him, why do you want a divorce? And he said, because I don't love her. And he said, does every home have to have love? What about appreciation and loyalty? Appreciation and loyalty. Think about how much you show appreciation to your partner. How many times do you show it actively in front of your children, appreciation for the food that's cooked or for the work that he's done? Well, how often have you shown that appreciation, that gratefulness, that gratitude, that alhamdulillah, I have someone here that does come into my home, that Allah has put us together for some reason, and see they're good? Or how many times you're stuck in unappreciation? I was talking to a sister 2 weeks ago, she was thinking about divorce, and we started talking about why she wanted divorce, and I couldn't pinpoint something. At the end, I said to her, sis, I can't find something that he's done. Like, do you feel you really have a reason for divorce? She's like, not really. I said, do you have something to go to a sheikh and say that, you know, I can go for a divorce? And she said, no, not really. I said, he sounds like a good guy. And she's like, yeah. I said, you're saying you're upset at him because he is not giving you compliments. But when's the last time you showed appreciation to him? She's like, I haven't. I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting for him. Stop waiting for the other person. Step up and look for something. You've got this list. Those of you who have this beautiful list of like 10, 20 things that's wrong with him or wrong with her. Look for her or his good. Look for his or her good. Because guess what? It may look like that watering the grass is green on the other side, but I tell you that watering your own grass is going to get nice and green and lush and thriving if you focus on that. Our biggest pandemic in Western Sydney right now is divorce, because everyone thinks that the grass is green on the other side. I know, because they're coming and talking to me. I coach these women. And I'm telling you how many times when they realize that it's actually, when I blow that bubble, no, it's actually harder for your children. If you are in a relationship where there is some signs of secure attachment, or you have the ability to create more secure attachment, secure thriving home, then that is obligatory on you to do that. That's amana on you. That's in trust on you. Not to avoid and run away, but to come back and what can I do to repair? Repair is incredibly important in any secure attachment. The ability to be able to ask for repair and to repair when you've done wrong. So basically, when you think about repair, think about it as a bridge, and then there's a break in the bridge. You're repairing. You have to do repair. You have to apologize when you've done something wrong. You have to acknowledge, not allow the ego to sit there and kind of hold back and say, you know, I'm not, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. I never do anything wrong. Like, we have to also acknowledge when we've done something that may not be healthy or not, might not be right, and really hold ourselves accountable to that, to build that, so we don't trigger that abandonment wound in our partner, or that rejection wound in our partner. Is building the repair, building that connection to each other. Repair is so important because repair builds that secure attachment. Securely attached adults apologize to each other when they've done something wrong. They make a real effort to grow and change. They take responsibility. You know, if you're someone that keeps hearing your partner saying, I want you to step up in this area, you start to listen. Women want men that step up and lead them. They want men that have a vision for the family. They want men that make mashura with them, that talk to them, that open up to them, that are vulnerable to them, that cry with them. This is creating that feeling of safety within the home. Your children need that. Your children need to see that my parents are on the same plate, that they work together, not against each other. Your home isn't Tom and Jerry. You know Tom and Jerry, the cartoon? Your home isn't Tom and Jerry. Your home is a place that you can create with everything that's going on. You can create that tranquility, that inner sanctuary, but it's not going to happen until you create that within here. You have to feel the tranquility and the sanctuary within yourself. If not, you're going to end up resentful. You're going to end up holding scores in each other. You're going to be creating silent treatment. Silent treatment is an inability to have good conflict resolution skills to deal with a situation. A feelings of safety, building that safety, and creating trusting healthy people. For you to build a healthy relationship, you have to trust in yourself and trust in others. I just want to gauge right now. I'm almost finished, but I want to gauge what is coming up for people. I'll have a look at questions in a second, but what's coming up for you? What's your a quick takeaway when you think about secure attachment? And I haven't talked about signs of insecure attachment, because that's I teach a whole program, how to fix insecure attachment, how to build that. But I'm just making more aware of what are the things that you're doing that could cause a threat to your own relationship. And most of this comes from childhood conditioning, but also comes from not being consciously aware, being aware of yourself, how the impact of your words and actions impact others. That's probably one of the biggest skills I teach my boys, is how does your action impact the people around you when you say what you do? That's the groundwork. Let's have a look. How does one move from avoidance attachment to secure attachment? There's so much in avoidance attachment, of how to move from avoidance attachment to secure attachment. But the biggest aspects of if you have an avoidance attachment, which is basically you're more emotionally unavailable, or you create a disconnect emotionally, you learn that's a pattern of behavior you've learned. It's a handle that you can build a more secure attachment. It's important to acknowledge that you have to work on feeling safe within your own emotional needs. Because a lot of time avoidance attachment, you learnt as a child that my emotions are ignored, or I need to be by myself, or emotions were too much. Maybe you're in a very chaotic environment or very emotionally charged, or you got a message in young that you weren't allowed to cry. You weren't allowed to have feelings. You had to man up. And so you learnt to suppress that part of you. Yeah, controlling environment, yes. So it's learning. Now as an adult, you're relearning. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ability, neuroplasticity, to rewire the brain, to teach, to learn. As you learn more of these things, you become more aware. You know, I have women that work with me for 6 months. By the time they're finished, they're like, they were very avoidance attachment, or very, especially with their children, particularly with their children. And then they've become more securely attached. They've learned that connection and vulnerability is safe. And that takes time. It takes, sometimes the final people can learn it straight away. They're able to change that. just but you first have to be consciously aware that I have learned that dismissing my emotions, dismissing other people's emotions, not being emotionally connected, distancing myself is the best way to deal with things, and it isn't. So the key thing with avoidance attachment is slowly learning to engage. And when you start to feel heightened emotionally or want to distance yourself, acknowledge that to your partner. So I'm not feeling so comfortable right now to have this conversation. I'm starting to feel a bit triggered. Can we do this when I feel better or I feel able to? Because your go-to will be flight. We're kind of like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm pushing this emotion away. And avoidance attachment creates a lot of, for the other person, it creates this feeling of like I'm being rejected because they don't feel comfortable to sit in the emotions, not comfortable not very in tune to what your body needs. So instead, what your go-to will be that this is flight response. I just want to get out of here. I'm not dealing with this emotional thing. So part of it is you learning the skills of regulation, regulating your own emotional state, doing those check-ins with your body, checking in with your body. Okay, so what's going on for me? Am I in a grounded state? Am I feeling grounded? Am I feeling more relaxed? Am I starting to be more discomfort and feel like I need to do either flight or fight or freeze, like just shut down and not deal with this? Or am I in like a really triggered where I just need to run or I need to attack or I need to just shut this person away? When you're here, that's going to cause emotional disconnect. And building secure attachment is also learning I can change my attachment style and be more secure. Slowly allowing yourself to accept and be safe in that discussion. Because we send off signs thinking this is a threat or this is unsafe. So it's many things. A lot of time it's also working to set your boundary of when you normally cut that person off and when you would instead learn that I don't want to cut this person off to sit and walk away. What can I do to be allow myself a bit more safe space here? So I'm just going to quickly look at chat. Is there a mix of anxious, avoidant, insecure attachment? So basically we're brought up with four attachment styles. We have four attachment styles. So we have the secure attachment, and then we have three types of insecure attachment. So most people understand that they have, if they've researched a little bit, as babies, you basically in the first 2 years of life either had a very secure attachment with your parent where you felt very loved and connected and a lot of trust, or you had an insecure avoidance attachment, or you had an insecure disorganized attachment. This is where a lot of abuse would have happened. Or you had a disorganized resistance, which is more anxious attachment. So you can have elements, but you're more likely. See, remember, your relationship with different people may have a different attachment style. For example, I have a very secure attachment with my mother. I have a very insecure attachment with my father till this day because of my childhood upbringing. So we can have secure attachments to certain people and insecure attachments to other people. The key thing is don't get too stuck in the label. This is really, really important. Don't get too stuck, oh, no, I'm avoidance attachment. I criticize a lot. I do this. I do that. Oh, my God, I'm avoidance. And that's why I specifically don't want to go too into the attachment style because people then get preoccupied with that. So, example, anxious attachment are very preoccupied with their relationships. They want constant checking. They get anxious if the person didn't call them back by a certain time. They're in a more anxious state. They want lots of reassurance. They find it hard to tell their needs directly. These are just some assumptions that they've made around attachment. The thing is, don't get so stuck in the label. Because when you just understand, okay, I understand I have an insecure attachment, whether that's avoidance, whether that's insecure, whether it's disorganized, what can I do now to create emotional safety and security for myself and the person that I'm with and the people around me, my children and my partner? And the second part, which is the most beautiful part about our DIN, remember, when they teach resilience in children, this is coming from me as a child psychology background, right, and Islamic psychology, you know the number one thing they say is the most resilient factor for any child? And remember, for those of you who grew up with childhood trauma or dysfunctional families, this is the most beautiful gift that Allah SWT gave you that created you to bounce back, to jump up, to have that psychological grit, is resilience. Allah gave you resilience. And it, the number one factor in all the studies, whether it's non-Muslim studies or Muslim studies, is faith. Faith, our tawakkul, our reliance, our trust in Allah is the most resilient protective factor in any relationship, in ourselves. So building, forget about insecure relationships, building your secure base back here, your connection back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and learning the certain tools that bring back security to yourself, you will see then you will show up in your relationships differently. You will show up in a more secure base in your relationships. Inshallah. I've got two questions here. I'm just going to quickly answer them. I feel like I have a fear of men. I'm in my late 20s and I've recently started to think about marriage. I had one marriage meeting and I intentionally ruined the meeting because I thought it would be better for me to let myself down than another man. Regret it now because I think he was a good man. Any advice? You so have to read my book. I've done a whole chapter on coming from a place of fearing men and going to a place of, going from a place of fearing men and growing up fearing men and going to a place of more secure understanding of men. This is an excellent question, sis, and so many women have this fear around men. Definitely you are going to subconsciously self-sabotage that relationship because you are coming from a place of fear. So I really advise you to start the internal healing work. Get a mentor, get a coach, a program that's actually going to meet your need to learn how to perceive things differently. You need to unpack some of the beliefs that you may have carried around men. And because you're going to show up in a way that you're going to be showing up in a place of fear, but you're also going to show up in a place where you attract men who kind of pick up that kind of victim side of you, that fear side. You want to build up your feminine confidence. And so there are certain things that you need to do that. So I really encourage you to start doing the internal work, the inner work that's going to help you to thrive and feel confident inside and have a different perception of men. This is such an important topic that you just mentioned. I just looked in the chat. Question. Comment. I've learned that most of our feelings are based on our thinking. I'm learning to manage my expectations and ask Allah for everything, putting love, healing, correction. Definitely, we feel our thoughts. We feel our thoughts. So this is a huge aspect of when you're learning to deal with relationships, is understanding what am I feeling and thinking right now? Because a lot of times it's a story that we create in our head that we're projecting onto the other person, that we're perceiving them in a negative light. So being very aware of your thoughts is very important in relationships, is being aware, what am I criticizing or thinking bad or negatively or assuming here that may not be actually correct. And that's why checking in, communicating, not making those assumptions and sitting in that place of, you could create a whole train road of negative thinking that actually impacts the relationship. So your thoughts, your mindset have a huge impact on feeling your thoughts and understanding the psychology of how you think is going to impact everything that you perceive in life. I just got one more question here. When is it okay to get out of a relationship for a man? Generally, women are advised to leave in the relationship physically abusive. Okay, this is an interesting question. Okay, so one of the key aspects I've talked a bit of what builds a secure attachment, a sense of belonging, trusting each other, looking after each other, having that security, feeling emotionally secure. If you don't feel emotionally secure in your relationship, if there is psychological abuse, if there is emotional abuse, if there's manipulation, if there's put downs, and a lot of men experience that, they get even alienated from other women in their lives because their wife has insecurities and so she needs to hold him in a certain place or to make herself feel better because she needs to take on a bit of a leadership or control. And I'm sorry to say this, sisters, too many women I see in my coaching are trying to take the control and it doesn't work. There is a reason that we are given certain roles in the relationship, letting the husband be the kiyama, the leader, and the woman be in a situation where she seeks advice from him and she gives advice to him and there is that. But remembering Allah has given him some honor. And I'm not talking about abusive relationships here. I'm not talking about abusive relationships. I'm talking about relationships that have some elements of healthy. So to answer your question, yes, brothers do experience it. Brothers do experience it. Sisters have said that to me. Khadija, my husband's a good man, but I'm really critical of him. I always put him down. So I'm saying this is for both of us. We have to work on both of this because that's definitely going to cause an insecure relationship. I would really encourage in a situation where there is abuse in a relationship. Two things, and I want to end off here because we're almost at the end. Yes, two things. Does the person have the perception taking skills to understand your separate reality, your opinion, your need in the marriage, or they're going to dismiss it and overlook it? That's number one. If that person is not willing to see your side, to be open to change, to understand the impact of their actions on the other person, because people can change. People can learn to stop doing certain habits. They may have learned from their childhood. Many, many women learned to see their fathers criticize their mother. And so they went into their masculine and thought that's what they need to do. So definitely there is hope in that things can change and opening that discussion and talking about that. And the second thing is you seeking support. You getting the support to get the clarity. Is this something that I still want to be here for my children? But what can I do to make this emotionally more safer, inshallah? I tried to encapsulate a little bit of what secure attachment is. It's hard to do it in such a short time. But I hope, inshallah, that knowing that building that secure self and your relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and building your own secure self, your own self-acceptance, your own worthiness, your own repair, your own regulation, these two are going to be important ingredients, inshallah, to build that secure relationship, inshallah. Inshallah, any benefit comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to catch me, I am Khadija Al-Qadour. You can get me on Instagram. And I do have a free, I'm not sure if it's been put into the link, a free PDF about building your secure relationship building a secure self in a secure relationship, inshallah. Okay, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallahu khairan, Khadija. That was brilliant, mashallah. Really, really thought-provoking, informative, and the comments in YouTube have been really great. Jazakallahu kullu khair for your time. Guys, the link will be sent to your email for the VIPs. And for those of you listening, the link is in the description. Okay, so download Sister Khadija's free ebook from the link in the description, bi'idhnillah, and follow her on social media and continue to benefit from her knowledge, mashallah, tabarakallah. We will see you in the next session, which is in about an hour's time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.